Good afternoon. Welcome to the Unaccounted For podcast. I've missed you guys. This has been a very dense week. There's been a lot of stuff going on. It is Tuesday. That's our day, Tuesday. Tuesday, March 20th, 2018. What's going on, dreamers? How you doing, folks? This is the Dreamers Podcast. I want this place to just be a getaway for anybody to kind of step away from their lives and start imagining something larger, maybe a bigger goal or something that's just beyond what we're all currently doing, okay? And this is different for every single person. For me, it's unaccounted for. I am dodging the 40-hour corporate accounting work week. I have a bachelor's in accounting. And it's good. It pays, it pays well, but it's not what I'm passionate about. So if you're like me, we are all looking for a way to make our passions more deeply integrated into our lives, whether that's our profession or whether that is getting really, really good at it and doing it really consistently as a hobby. So me personally, if you're a new listener, I am professionally pursuing stand-up comedy. All right. And I'm loving it. I'm fresh to New York City. I spent the last year saving money, working, and I just moved up here. So here we go, guys. I mean, this is really the journey. I mean, we're on it. We're doing it. It was all so hypothetical. I've been planning this for 3-4 years, and it was just all, one day I would like to, I'm here. I wake up in the morning and I'm looking at the city. It's, it's crazy. And I still feel like such a child, like a 22-year-old child, especially when I shave my face. Good gravy. Good gracious. I was actually at an open mic, and this woman, like midway performing, she literally just points at me and she goes, "You're a child." I was like, "Jesus." Okay. Thanks, lady. I love New York City. So many comedy opportunities. This is what, my first week. I've been here on my own for a week. Guess how many open mics I've done? I've done 10. I've performed 10 times. That is crazy. Very crazy. I mean, when I was in Jacksonville or Orlando, I would perform maybe once or twice a week. Maybe. On a good week. But here, I've already done 10 mics. And just like sheer numbers, I'm going to get a lot better than I was a lot quicker. I heard somebody say 1 year in New York is worth 7 years in anywhere else. So I'm loving it. I'm going to this place called the Climate Lounge. It's pretty close to where I'm staying. And it's a little strange. You got to pay for the open mics here. That's kind of a culture shock. I'm not really used to that. I mean, you have to pay $5, on average, and then get like a drink. So it's like a $10 or $11 ordeal if you're feeling like a nice guy, that's a decent amount. So if you do a little math, I've done 10 mics. That's starting to add up. Definitely like a decent sized expense, but you pay for what you get. Like this mic I've been going to a lot. It's called the Laughing Buddha open mic. Has been really, really good, really consistent. So, guys, I'm freaking doing it. No hesitations. As soon as I got up here, I was rearing to go. Just wanted to get up there and do it. It's still weird when people ask me about doing stand up. They're like, "Do you get nervous? Do you freak out? Like, how does it go?" I mean, like the first like 2 years of me doing stand up. I've done stand up for almost 4 years now. The first 2 years were really, really horrible. I mean, even into the third year was really bad. But I don't know. I think things are finally clicking. I'm finding my voice. I actually posted a video of like a 4.5-minute set or something like that. I did at the Laughing Buddha, which was It went pretty well. You know, it's not my favorite video, but I hardly ever video myself. So you can check that out on my Facebook page if you're interested. So we're having a good time. I mean, I'm just living the dream right now. You know, I'm literally just like, I'm knuckle deep in the dream right now. And I heard a really interesting common misconception. So a comedian was doing a bit, and I don't know if he was joking or not, but he was doing a bit about like motivational speaking and stuff like that. And if you've listened to this podcast for a while, you know I'm really big on motivational speakers and kind of just like personal growth stuff. So this guy was kind of, his joke was making fun of motivational speaking. And you don't go there with me, man. No, but he was making fun of motivational speaking, and he said that it got his friend to quit his job or whatever, and you know, and then he went broke. So basically, just saying it's like it's enticing people to be poor, which is such a huge misconception. I mean, couldn't be larger. You know, I mean, look at me. I think the wrong way to pursue your dream is to just drop everything and to go do it. I mean, you could be crazy as hell and do that. But, you know, when I decided I wanted to do stand-up comedy as a profession junior year of college. So I had to do 2 years of an accounting degree, just totally not wanting to make it my life career. You know, so it's like you got to have the discipline to kind of align the stars. It's not like a drop your whole life and go do this crazy thing. I mean, you got to have an action plan. You got to save the money. You have to get the good grades so you can get the jobs. You have to, it's just a lot of discipline that it's been a big learning curve for me trying to figure out how to do this. And, you know, I'm just trying to take a step forward like every year, you know, saving money, working. And you know, I mean, I don't have anything huge to show for it, but I'm here in New York City doing stand up and working. I mean, that's what I wanted, and I'm doing it. So, we're on the dream now. It's no more talking. So yeah, the open mics, what are they looking like? Good question, Ted. I did a lot of open mics during the week, which is normally what you would get, you know, 10 to 15 comedians watching each other. And those are just totally different shows. You know, that's you don't get these big laughs like you would with a real audience. But I did two shows in the evening at Laughing Buddha on the weekend, which is really good. The best one was 10:30 p.m. on Saturday, and oh my goodness, it was just awesome. I'm pretty sure that was St. Patrick's Day, and yeah, it definitely was. And it was a great experience. Like oh my gosh, I love this mic. There's like 40 or 50 people in the audience, and my set went great. And I got high fives afterwards. I was just having a ball. Really, really good time. I am establishing my material more. I added a new portion to my microphone joke. If you're a listener to this podcast, you've heard me freaking hammer that microphone joke together. It has been a process. It's really, in my opinion, one of my strongest and most creative bits at this point. So I do that a lot. And I actually added a little segment if you don't know the bit, it's fine. But while I'm the character, the inventor of the microphone, I do a joke where I say, I wonder if the guy who invented stools used to get ignored at parties. And if you're new to this podcast, you don't have any idea what that means, go check out the video on my Facebook so you can see the original bit. Long story short, I added a portion, and it's a bit that I've been doing for a while. So whenever I add a little bit, it's a really good feeling. So I just got the energy of the city in me, you know, the hustle and bustle, the grind, baby, the grind. So I'm going for it. and I'm trying to figure out where to go from here. You know, I don't want to be an open micer forever, but I think for a little while, the open mic scene is what I need to be doing before I start trying to get, like, legit showcase stuff or go to any of the comedy clubs. So next step is probably just do a lot of open mics every week and keep doing that. That's, you know, that's my main priority, is to just get really good at stand-up. Because, you know, if I'm good, then I'll be able to get the work opportunities and slowly whittle away from doing accounting. That's what we're going for, people. I actually just got back from a job interview. I'm looking for part-time accounting work in the city. So I am definitely getting on that. I'm losing weight pretty quickly. You just walk everywhere here. I just walked like 3 miles. It's like casually. I'm definitely getting some hair on my chest with all this cold up here. Because I'm a Florida boy, you know. I'm one of them Floridians. So it's definitely toughening me up a little bit. A lot of there's a lot of weird stuff going on in the city. Like when I got out of the St. Patrick's, or when I got out of the show on St. Patrick's Day, I got out at like 12:30, and you walk out. I just walked out on the streets of New York City, and it was just like mayhem. It was like a movie. People are yelling. There's sirens. This woman's throwing up. And it's just intense. It was like super intense. And I had like a mile walk to get back to my apartment. So I just said, screw it. Like, I'm hopping in a cab. So it was real. I mean, I'm kind of this innocent looking dude, you know? So I'm like, get me off of the streets right now. This is bad. Everybody was drunk. Literally everybody. I mean, people are stumbling, holding each other. It was like a war scene. It was it was really bad. So I just said, screw it. I'm paying $10 for a cab. I'm not even putting up with this. What else happened in the city? Oh, this guy randomly took a picture of me. And it wasn't on his cell phone, so it was like nonchalant. He literally had like a professional grade camera. I was walking across the street. He pulls out his camera and he just points it right in my face, takes a picture, and then walks away really, really fast. And I was walking, like watching him, and he just like walk, he just gets away. And I was so confused. What the hell? My face is gonna appear on like a Craigslist ad selling like pit bull puppies or something. Selling like a fake washer and dryer kit, you know? It's just gonna be this candid photo of me mid stride on the New York City street. Why is this dude taking a picture of me? I had so many questions. And it wasn't, there was no doubt about it. He took a picture of me. Like he aimed it in my face and snapped it. And I didn't even say anything. I mean, it would be kind of a weird thing to get pissed off at, you know, because I'm not a celebrity or anything. I have no reason to care if somebody takes my picture, but it really weirds me. I'm just going to be on like some contemporary art museum. Just going to be a blurry picture of my face. Oh, gosh. Ugh. I should have chased him down, you know, grabbed him by the collar. What are you doing, huh? Why are you taking a picture of my face, bro? It was just like he was like an average looking dude too. I don't know. I mean, I don't really know how to handle that. You know, I'm not used to the paparazzi. Maybe he thought I was like Bo Burnham or something, or some sort of celebrity. So weird experiences going on. Definitely a lot of that. Just like very eclectic individuals just roaming the streets. When I go down to the East Village, it's always an experience. You know, you see some goofy get-ups. I saw this guy just like covered in feathers. Just like it was like a feather jacket. I was like, dude, what are you? What do you think you are? What do you identify as? Are you a bird, sir? Are you a bird? Yeah, there's a decent amount of homeless people. I've had a few people try to talk to me. I mean, you feel bad for them, but I don't know. It's just they're bothering people. You know, I don't know. Like, this guy was in this breakfast place I was in. He's like asking if he could sit down with me, and he wasn't. I mean, I want to help people, but it's like, dude, I'm trying to eat breakfast. You know, this is just uncomfortable for everybody. He was making everybody uncomfortable. And I, you know, I've been on like a mission trip to help homeless people. So I got a heart for it, but it's just like a weird, I mean, he was obviously crazy. He wasn't like, hey, do you mind if I take a seat? He was like kind of yelling it at me and then yelling at people and saying he's going to kick people's ass. Like, he was really, you just get all kinds in New York City. And that's really kind of the beauty of it, you know? That's really kind of like the great part of the city, is that when I walk down the street, it's almost like a movie of like interesting stuff going on. You know, there's all these different subplots going on. I mean, people running around and, you know, bikers like going right in front of you. And I got a haircut in New York City. He did it in like 4 minutes. I was like, geez, dude. But time is money here. You know, people are trying to pave a way for themselves. And I love that though. I'm a big competition person, you know? I don't know about you guys, but competition just like, I think everybody needs that competition. I think some people are afraid of it because it might make them feel like they're not as good at what they do. But when I've gone up at these open mics, there's some really freaking good people here, like doing stand up in the city. And when they have like a way better performance than me, it makes me like fired up. I'm like, all right, let's get it. Like, let's try to figure this out. Like, let's just go for it here. So yeah, I mean, definitely a lot of dark, dark humor. That's been in all places I've done comedy. There's like so much sexual jokes, and you know, it's like, do whatever jokes you want to do, but at least make it authentic to yourself, you know? Because I don't think anybody's ever been successful being inauthentic. So, I mean, I don't know these people, but there's definitely a lot of sexual humor and just like gross stuff. I mean, it's whatever. But I don't know. I've said this before, but I try not to cuss in my sets, and that's to so I never lean on it, you know? I never lean on, like, the knee-jerk laughter reaction. Like, if you say the F word, people are going to laugh out of being uncomfortable or just because it's a word that you're supposed to laugh at, you know? So it's not really getting you anywhere. I don't know. But, yeah, I'm starting to develop this new style. I mean, you can kind of see how I've been working on it, but just these like creative, I want my style to be creative ideas that nobody's ever thought of. I mean, that's a hard precedent to set, but I think that is really the only way that I will be successful personally. And trust me, this style that I've been working on for so long is, it's hard to sustain. It's hard to develop new stuff, new creative out there thinking. I've been getting a lot of one-liners out of it. I have this new set of jokes where I like to, where I say, I know what you guys are thinking. I'm a real mean dude, you know, I'm a real son of a gun. Which is obviously me joking, because I feel like I've been told I look like just like a super nice guy, you know, just like the stereotypical. So I say, yeah, I look like a real mean person. And then I do a few jokes. One of them is, I like to insult people wearing complimentary colors. It's just like so stupid. And I go, yellow and blue. Who's this guy? What else have I made? I like to roast marshmallows. And then I just start going like, oh, dumbass, looking at marshmallow. Oh, puffy. You ain't never going to be a small marshmallow. And I just do that for like 30 seconds. And then, what was the last joke? And keep in mind, I've prefaced this in my act by saying I'm, you know, joking about how I'm a mean person. my kindness is a defense mechanism. So I say, they say kill him with kindness. I say resuscitate with hatred. So it's just these, like, it's like these one-liner kind of jokes, just kind of creative thoughts or, like, ways of thinking of things. I have a few new jokes. Maybe I'll tell you guys, like, where I'm at with a couple of jokes. Just, I know some people love, like, the writing process and the creative thinking process. Because if you listen to my microphone joke at the beginning, like, the very start when I thought of it in, like, August, it has changed so many times. And I even did an episode a little while ago where I played every recording of the microphone joke and I analyzed how I changed it and how I improved it. One joke that I'm working on right now is I hate those real people, not actors, Chevy commercials. I wish they would make a commercial that was real actors, not people. So that's like the premise, and I'm trying to figure it out. I've gone down this road of like, take one with a Shakespearean alpaca, you know, something like that. It's like, there's so much. I was thinking like aliens are not people. What if it's like an alien actor? Or there's just so many directions. I was literally making like a spider web chart from like elementary school to try to just flesh out all of my ideas. I think it has a lot of potential, and I literally was laughing when I came up with the real actors, not people idea. I think it's funny. So I'm working on that. What else am I working on? Timing never was my thing. I saw this group of firefighters standing in a circle holding a trampoline, and I started playing Duck Duck Goose. So that's a really, really, really hard one. I mean, I don't even think I've ever performed it, but it's just been on my mind. It's like playing Duck Duck Goose in inappropriate situations is the idea. And I'm just obsessed with it, and I cannot find out a way to do it. It annoys me because I know there's something there. There is something there. I was thinking of like playing Duck Duck Goose, like a circle of like duck and goose or something like that, or like maybe a football huddle or a volleyball team huddle, just like some inappropriate situation, and then I can do the act out of like duck, 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 goose. This is also one of the things of dreaming and of stand-up bits in particular. A lot of the time people don't really see the vision you have for things. Like my Duck Duck Goose thing, I mean, you guys listening to that might be thinking, like, what the hell? Like, that'll never work. That doesn't even make sense. It's dumb. I don't see any potential in it. But that's not important. What's important is that I know the vision I have for it, and I know from past experience that it does have potential. So don't let anybody talk you out of your ideas. That's a really big thing I've been learning. And it's a cool thing that I get to have here because I don't know anybody here. And I don't have anybody discouraging me or trying to talk me out of any of my ideas or dreams or hopes or any of that stuff. I'm a totally rewritten person where I can kind of redefine myself. You know, there's something that weighs on people where they're around people that they've known since high school or people that have seen them when they had their awkward stages. You know, I was a really kind of weird, not like super weird, but I mean, I was a little strange in high school. I mean, you can tell by my Duck Duck Goose stuff, you know, but I was a little strange. I definitely wasn't that self-aware. So it's nice to get to another city where nobody knows me. And I mean, that's really one of the reasons I love stand-up comedy is it's because every time I walk onto the stage and perform for an audience or a new group of people, it's another chance. It's a new opportunity to make myself known to people and to kind of control their perception of me. I get to act, talk, think, speak the way I want to speak, and I get 5 minutes or more, hey, 5 minutes or more to let them into my little world and my way of thinking. And I get to work on it. I get to obsess over these ideas and work on them diligently and write them and rewrite them and give up on them and come back to them. And I throw together this little performance that shows you who I am, how I want to be viewed, and really what I'm capable of. You know, I love it. It's like everybody stop talking. We got one person who wants to speak for 5 minutes. Okay, next person. Okay, next person. That's why stand-up is so great. It gives people who don't want to be loud and obnoxious and attention-seeking the chance to like really be heard and be known. And I think that's really my favorite. I mean, that's the corniest thing I've ever said in my life. And I've said some corny stuff. But that's really what I love about stand-up. It's like we get to be who we want to be. And it's, you know, everybody needs to be quiet because that's what the art form is. You know, nobody's supposed to talk at all. I mean, I love it. It's a beautiful art form. A lot of people think it's just you getting up there and talking and kind of telling a funny story or whatever, but there's so much depth to the art form of stand-up, and I'm really in love with it. So just, you know, find what that is for you. And let me give you a little hint. It's not going to be something that's within your comfort zone. I mean, you could already know what your dream is, what you're passionate about. But for me, getting up and performing, I always thought like, I mean, before I started performing, I always thought, oh, I'm not that funny in front of people, or I'll never be the, you know, the performer, the funny guy who's up in front and making everybody laugh. You know, I was always a little bit reserved if I didn't know you very well, but. And for a while, I thought that was because I didn't have a good sense of humor or because I wasn't capable. But really, it was just my fear. And fear could do crazy things. I mean, you might think you're not good enough, but really, you're just afraid. And once the fear subsides, you realize how actually talented you can be. I mean, the less fearful I get with stand-up, the funnier I get because it's letting more of me pour through, you know? And the more confidence I build, the funnier I get. It's taking off these restraints from ourselves to discover what the actual like gem within us is. And everybody has one. Everybody has their own. Everybody has their own authentic self that is the only version of us. You know, that's why I talk about competition in stand-up, but there's really no competition at all. It's the competition is with each of our own selves, and no matter what profession, what it is, the thing that will make you successful or me successful is finding how we can authentically grow into the person we're meant to be and highlight the attributes that have been given to us just, you know, from birth, and working on those and developing them and letting them blossom. I mean, when I first started, if I would have listened to the voices around me or listened to the voice within me, I would never have kept doing stand-up because it hurt. It sucked. I was so bad and I made people so uncomfortable and I was just horrible. But the fact that I can like get up in front of an audience and actually get like real laughs, I mean, who knows what anybody can accomplish, because that truth within my life is just so crazy to me. And I have to sit back and think about it and reminisce on it. And if you listen to my very, very early episodes, which you can check out on my website, unaccountedfor.com, then you can hear me literally bomb. Or look up my first stand-up video. Just search Ted Barton stand-up. And see how bad I was. I mean, horrible. These ideas were I really encourage anybody, no matter where you are right now, find what your gift is, work on it, and work on it, and don't give up on it, and work on it, because it's up to you to decide what you want to blossom within yourself and change into the person that can fulfill your dreams. And rewrite yourself. Don't let these people around you who think they know you and think they've defined you dictate what you're going to do in your life and dictate your actions and what you think you're capable of, because we have so much more capability than we can ever imagine. I'm a really, really big believer in it. And don't quit your job tomorrow. I mean, I'm still going to work as an accountant, but there's a way to do both. There's a way to make the money and have the security while still working on the dream. It's a little bit harder, you know, and what do I know about difficulty? I mean, I've been given so much in life and I'm so blessed, you know, but chasing after this stuff and putting your heart and soul into your work is so important just for our fulfillment and well-being, you know. So let's get after it, guys. Thanks for listening to this. Email me at unaccountedfor@yahoo.com. And let's keep the discussion going. Please like, rate, subscribe to this podcast, and keep listening. I really appreciate the support. And check out my Facebook video of me doing stand-up. And yeah, I'll check back in with you guys next Tuesday. Thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you soon.
I watched the effect of my father's love and humor and how it altered the world around me. And I thought, that's something to do. That's something worth my time. When I was about 28, after a decade as a professional comedian, I realized one night in LA that the purpose of my life had always been to free people from concern, just like my dad. I did something that made people present their best selves to me wherever I go. How will you serve the world? What do they need that your talent can provide? That's all you have to figure out. I can tell you from experience, the effect you have on others is the most valuable currency there is. Because ultimately, we're not the avatars we create. We are not the pictures on the film stock. We are the light that shines through. All else is just smoke and mirrors, distracting, but not truly compelling. That peace that we're after lies somewhere beyond personality, beyond the perception of others, beyond invention and disguise, even beyond effort itself. You can join the game, fight the wars, play with form all you want, but to find real peace, you have to let the armor go. Your need for acceptance can make you invisible in this world. Don't let anything stand in the way of the light that shines through this form. Risk being seen in all of your glory. I've often said that I wished people could realize all their dreams and wealth and fame, and so that they could see that it's not where you're going to find your sense of completion. Like many of you, I was concerned about going out into the world and doing something bigger than myself, until someone smarter than myself made me realize that there is nothing bigger than myself. Our eyes are not viewers. They're also projectors that are running a second story over the picture that we see in front of us all the time. Fear is writing that script. And the working title is, I'll never be enough. I'm just making a conscious choice to perceive challenges as something beneficial so that I can deal with them in the most productive way. You'll come up with your own style. That's part of the fun. Life doesn't happen to you. It happens for you. You will only ever have two choices, love or fear. Choose love, and don't ever let fear turn you against your playful heart. All that will be left of you is what was in your heart. My soul is not contained within the limits of my body. My body is contained within the limitlessness of my soul. You can fail at what you don't want, so you might as well take a chance on doing what you love. Relax and dream up a good life. You can spend your whole life imagining ghosts, worrying about the pathway to the future, but all there will ever be is what's happening here, and the decisions we make in this moment, which are based in either love or fear. So many of us choose our path out of fear disguised as practicality. What we really want seems impossibly out of reach and ridiculous to expect, so we never dare to ask the universe for it. I'm the proof that you can ask the universe for it.